All right. Hey, guys, at all of our campuses, can we just praise God for the story that we just heard? Just knowing that God is already here. We're catching up to the things that he is doing. Hey, welcome to Mercy Hill at all of our locations. Man, what a weekend. One of my favorite quotes from a Spielberg movie called War Horse is, "There are big days and small days. Which is today going to be?" Man, I think it's going to be a huge day at Mercy Hill for the future of our church, and we're excited that you're going to be a part of it. The reason I say that, if you're new, let me catch you up. Man, today is week three. We are committing today in terms of our multiply offering that we've been walking through for the last 3 weeks, all right? So if you are new, we'd love for you to grab one of these books on your way out. You can grab one at any of our lobbies of all of our campuses. Man, it's got all the details in it, but just quickly here, what is multiply about? Multiply is about funding the ministry lanes for next year, and it's about funding the land, we pray, in cash for the future home and hub of Mercy Hill that will be something that we're able to send from for decades to come, all right? Man, you know, just kind of a few more details about it. This is an offering at the end of this year where we have two goals, all right? The first goal is 100% participation from everybody that calls Mercy Hill home. Now, we got people here today just because, man, every single weekend it's like this. This might be your very first time at Mercy Hill. I want you to know you're kind of jumping in a little bit on an inside conversation today. This is a little bit of a kitchen table conversation with the family, all right? So you're going to hopefully get to see us at our best. But we're calling 100% participation from everybody that calls Mercy Hill home. The second goal that we have is that we're trying to raise $3 million so that we can buy this land in cash and also fund the ministry lanes for next year. That means the student center upfit. It means the adoption and foster conference. We want to fund a residency scholarship for students that might need that coming from our college campuses that want to do our residency but don't come from a bunch of Christian connections. We're also going to plant two churches. So if this money is going to those things, and it's really going to be kind of a pivotal moment for our church for the next few decades to come. It's really about impact. I'll draw your attention to this now, and then we'll come back to it at the end. But guys, this card is something that we're doing symbolically today. All right, man, the offering is technically open right this second, and it's been open. It's open all the way through the end of December. But what we're calling the church to do as we gather this weekend is that we would come together in unity and commit and make a commitment to what we're going to do before the end of the year. So that's where you have landed today, and we're going to get after it. If you have a copy of scripture, you can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we are going to be diving into a sermon that looks at some folks in the scriptures that really showed with their life and death what it looks like to long for another home, okay? That's kind of what we're getting into today, all right? We live here. We live on this earth. We are residents here, but we are also exiles and aliens. We live here, but we love there, okay? The kingdom is what we are living for, and that's what we're going to end up seeing today. We're going to see some people today that lived in this world with their eyes on the next. They lived here, but the way they lived showed that they realized this was not their home. Let me give you kind of an illustration that I think might draw some of these things together at the beginning right here as we're thinking about this. Man, we live here, but we long for there. I don't know if any of you guys have ever done this. I'm actually sure that you haven't. It's a little bit silly, but follow the illustration. Imagine somebody going to a hotel room they're going to be at for one day, one night, two nights, maybe. They get to the hotel room, they look around, and they're like, man, this just ain't going to do. So they load up in the truck, and they drive to Home Depot and buy all new flooring and paint for the walls. Okay, and they come back and they spend all night, you know, fixing the floors and painting. Has anybody ever, you know, walked into a hotel room, I'm going to be there for two nights, and you decide, I'm going to build a nice raised bed garden on the deck of this hotel room? Obviously, it's kind of a silly illustration. We would say, man, nobody would ever in their right mind do that. Why? Because you're going to be there for like 2 days. You don't make that kind of investment in a place where you're not going to be. Now, understand that every metaphor breaks down, okay? I've got garden beds at my house, and we do care about what the floor and the paint looks like and all that. Why? Well, we are on this earth for a few decades, you know? I mean, we are here, and man, we understand from the scripture, even when the children of Israel went into Babylonian exile, it was like, hey, build your houses. Seek the peace of the city that you're in. Like, man, you're here. Be a light there. So I understand that, but there's also something in that illustration that kind of shakes me up to say, man, is my thought life, my investments, the way my life looks, does it speak as if I feel like this world is actually home? Or does it feel like, no, if you look at my life, there is another world that is my home, and here we're passing through, we're trying to make an impact, we're glorifying God, and yes, he blesses us with great things here and we enjoy them to his glory, but it ain't home, right? Home is coming. I'm homesick for another place that maybe I've never even seen, but I'm thinking about that. That's where I want us to go today, and we're gonna see that in this story, all right? Leveraging our resources here, this is the big idea, reveals our longing for a better country. Now, when I say better country, somebody might have seen that, oh, we're going political. Nothing to do with country, okay? The text is talking about better country, meaning heaven versus earth, all right? We live on earth, but we long for a better country. And when we do that, our life looks different. Let me just ask you this. Man, do you love these type of stories? Let me give you a couple things that are going on at Mercy Hill right now. We planted a church in Roanoke, Virginia, all right? Redemption. Man, we planted the church in 2020. Guys, they've got 5 baptisms happening this very weekend, all right? It's about multiplication. Man, we wanna see a church here with many campuses, but a family of churches in many cities, okay? And we praise God for that. How much do you love that? How much do you long for that? I'll give you another example. We've got a businessman in our church that a few years ago when our family was starting the adoption journey with Faith Ann and even our Mercy Hill family, there's a lot of families that were already involved. We had a great culture here, but man, I think it was something that we were kind of, God was birthing in us in terms of even a bigger vision for these things. And he jumped in with our family. They were in our community group and him and his wife wanted to jump in and they wanted to help support our adoption and all of that. Man, it lit a fire in him for families raising money for adoptions. Fast forward, you know what he did? He started a nonprofit called Woven Papyrus that this very year raised $250,000 to fund adoptions in our community. Most of that money came from Mercy Hill families, and most of it went to Mercy Hill families, okay? I mean, do you love that kind of story? We had a young woman at the Weekender in November. After the Weekender was over, and if you guys have been to the Weekender, if you haven't been, you gotta go in January, but if you have been, it's drinking out of a fire hose, okay? I mean, it's all things Mercy Hill. This is what we believe. This is the mission we're on. Man, she listens to all that. Hangs out after everybody's gone. And one of our leaders, not staff now, one of our leaders hung around with her. She gave her life to Christ right there at the student center after the Weekender, got baptized a couple weeks later and is going to regroup in January. How much do you love that story? Right? I mean, praise God, all of our campuses. Man, let's show. Do we love that? You know, we live here, but we love there, right? We love the kingdom of God, and our life ought to kind of reflect that when it comes to everything about it, including our giving. So when we come to multiply, and it's like, man, all things multiply is about all things leveraging what God has given us because we long for the better country. Man, we look forward to what he is gonna do. We wanna invest in what he is doing. So for example, we have a retired couple that man has been thinking about multiply, man, love the better country, love the kingdom, right? And God has given them both. They've been talking about what they're gonna do for multiply, being very prepared as many of us around the church are for this weekend and this offering this month. And last weekend, they weren't able to be here. They had to watch the sermon separately. They watched the sermon separately. They come together for dinner that night and they look at each other and God has given both of them uniquely the number that they ought to give, and it was much higher than the one that they originally started with. Man, God is moving. He is moving in the generosity of our church so that we can leverage our resources to show our love for another kingdom. Let me give you another story. Man, we had a family here that is a foster family, like many families at Mercy Hill. And when you're a foster family in the system, one of the things that happens is you get a stipend every month. You get a stipend to help cover costs for this or that. And man, it don't really come that close to what's actually needed, right? But it's a good thing. And that's one of the good things, civil society. And we get, you know, you get a stipend for that. Well, they started thinking about this and they thought, man, what do we want to do for multiply? They communicated with us. Hey, we want, you know, God has blessed us. We could take care of this child on what he has blessed us with outside of that. We want to take an entire year's worth of that stipend and give it to the multiply offering so that there will be multiple families next year that are raised up, cared for, and the vulnerable children in our community will be taken care of. That's leveraging. That's loving another kingdom and leveraging our resources for it here. Man, I want to take us to this place in Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 11 that really gets us at those things, all right? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 together. Here's what it says. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Quickly here, just as we're moving through, let me make sure we understand. The way I learned this verse is faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of what is not seen, okay? It is the thing that we grasp, even though we're looking forward to a promise that God is going to give us later. We don't have that promise right here. It's not right in front of us. What we have that we can hold, the substance of it, is our faith. That's what faith is. You could say it like this. Let me give another word that I think maybe in our context would speak a little bit of clarity for this. Faith is the confidence of what it is, the confidence that we have right now about the things that God is going to do in light of what he has promised. We have confidence now, and that's what our faith is. Now, we're about to read a bunch of stories, and I told you, we don't do this much at Mercy Hill, but right off the bat, and I told you on the front end, I understand this is a little bit insider today, okay? So if you're brand new, which I know we'll probably have just on an average weekend, 50, 75 people that are brand new to Mercy Hill, maybe brand new to the faith, man, go chase down these stories, okay? I don't have time to chase every one of these stories. But what we're about to read is a list of people who had faith. They had confidence in light of the promises of God, okay? And they had faith sometimes in some things that God had promised them. Some of it was the big stuff. Some of it was even smaller things, but they demonstrated their faith in what God told them. Now, this is what I want you to hear when we're reading this. We have to take into account where we are. The people in these stories are thousands of years ago. We live right here at the end of 2021. Where we live in the historical timeline is this, okay? Man, God promised a savior through his children, Israel. They produced a savior in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lived a life we didn't live, died a death that we deserved. In his resurrection, we have the opportunity for the newness of life. He ascends, sends the Spirit. The Spirit lights the flame of the church, has been raging for 2,000 years, can't stop, won't stop. We're part of that, all right? And now where we are, 2021, is we are looking forward to the big promise. And the big promise is that one day Jesus Christ will return, and with him, he will bring the new heavens and the new earth. Let us build our faith by looking back and gaining confidence. Let us build our faith in what God is going to do as we read, all right? Look at these heroes of the faith. Listen to what God did with them. By faith, Abel offered to God more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, though which he was commended as righteous. Through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Verse 7. We're going more characters here, all right? By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events yet as unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now that's important because that metaphor is going to carry through all that we talk about today, that Abraham was called out to a place that he didn't know. There was a home that he had never seen. He was from Haran, but that was not his home. His home was a promised land that he had never seen. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, I don't want to put down no big city, okay? But I'm going to tell you, I can't wait to see the city whose designer is God. And that city is coming, and when it comes, it will purge this whole earth of all brokenness. Every bit of brokenness will be wiped away, and every tear will be wiped away from the face of every single believer. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead because he was old, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Guys, I know that's a lot. There's a lot of stories that I just went through, and you need to go chase them down and get refreshers on them if that's something that you need. But the point here is pretty simple. We can look back, and it builds our confidence to look forward. Sometimes when we look through the windshield, it's hard to see what God is doing. When we look through the rearview mirror, it's a lot easier to see what God is doing. Looking back builds our confidence to look forward, and that reignites our faith. See, many of us look back and we talk about what God has done. Guys, that's not faith. I'm not saying it's not right to do. We need to set up memorial stones in our life. We need to think about what God has done. We need to praise him over the works of his past. But looking backwards is not faith. It is fueled when we look back. We are reignited to be able to look forward and grab on to the substance of what we have not seen. And this is one of the strategies in the Christian life, y'all, just practically here, okay? Man, if you're brand new and you're like, man, multiply, hey, here's something real practical, okay? When we look back, we have an opportunity to build and reignite the faith in our life. We get to see what God has done. It helps us to look forward, okay? It's kind of the reignition switch. Hey, at our campuses as well, any of you guys be willing to admit here, do you have gas log fireplace at your house, okay? Does anybody have a gas log? I see those hands, all right? I'm always shocked at how many people are willing to admit that, okay? Because I'm ashamed of it, all right? That's one of those things at our house where I'm like, man, I'm putting myself out there with this illustration, but I'm pretty ashamed of it. I mean, my kid, you know, it was one of those things we built the house I didn't catch till later, and it was like, well, we're not gonna go build, redo, and all this kind of stuff. But it's one of those things where I'm like, every single time I tell my boys to go turn the fire on, a little piece of me dies, okay? Because you don't turn a fire on, right? You build a fire, okay? But what's the worst thing? All right, a bunch of y'all have gas logs. I'm being funny a little bit here, but man, what is the thing with gas logs that's so annoying? Somebody inevitably goes up, and instead of turning it this way to turn it on, they turn it this way and they turn the pilot light off. All right, and when they do, now you gotta do the whole process of reignition and you gotta hold the thing and now gas is coming out. You could smell it as you're about to light it and you're like, man, I'm about to blow my eyebrows off here. And you guys have been through the whole rigmarole before, right? The idea is sometimes you've gotta reignite kind of what is there. All right, now don't carry the metaphor too far. Man, we are full-fledged believers, the assurance of the believer. Man, you don't lose salvation. Don't go all the way there. I'm just saying, hey, if we're a little cold, if we're a little flat sometimes in our life, what's the reignition button? Man, how do you go and relight? You look back at what God has done in your life. And that's what this passage is kind of showing us a little bit. I want to talk to you about what it looks like to live and die in faith, to grab onto another world and live differently in this world. And the way that we do that many times is by reigniting, looking back. What has God done? It fuels us to say, wait a minute, there are some things about God I believe. I believe he's good. I believe Romans 8:28, that he is moving all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Now, we don't always see that. It's hard for us to see that sometimes. But we grab onto that and believe it, that he's taken us to a greater home. That's what this passage is about. Now, you have all these heroes that I've mentioned, right? All right, now look what it says in verse 13. Now, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar off, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, and this is where the sermon kind of comes from and the big idea and the name of the sermon, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them, we just read this a minute ago, a city. What is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying that there are heroes of the faith that I just mentioned, that God had promised them things that they never saw. Listen, they received the promises of God, but they never saw the promises of God. What they received in faith, they didn't get to see with their eyes. Not fully, all right? They didn't fully get to see what God was going to do. Now, sometimes if you go back in these stories, they got to see some of it, and sometimes they didn't get to see as much of it. You know, you think about Abraham. Abraham never got to see the fruition of the promises of the promised land and the nation that would come, you know? He never got to see all of that, but God promised it to him. He received it, but he didn't get a chance to see it, and therefore he died in faith. Now, what do we receive today? Let's go big, okay? Man, I told you where we're at in salvation history. Man, we're in 2021. What is that thing that we receive today, but we don't see today? Man, we just came out of this in the book of Revelation. Guys, one day there will be a greater Joshua, and he will come and drive out his enemies and bring his peace. He will bring a new heavens. He will bring a new earth. He will bring the city that he has prepared for us. And this is what we grab onto today. We receive that today. But you know what? Just like the saints of old, the saints right now that die, man, we die in faith. We die holding the substance. We die with the evidence because we haven't seen the fulfillment because it hasn't happened yet. Jesus has not returned yet. Just like these saints, I'm gonna give you a story. Miss Vernon died a couple of years ago, all right? 97-year-old saint that was right here at Mercy Hill. And she came, she would come right here. They would come, they would sit right there at Regional, right in the back. Man, when I got to preaching hard, and she didn't do this unless I was preaching hard. And when I finally got to that moment of the sermon where my daddy would say, I was shucking the corn, okay, whatever that means, all right? Well, I would look back, I knew I was doing pretty good if Ms. Vernon had her hand up like this, okay? 97 years old now, all right? She loved Jesus. I had a chance to preach her funeral. Man, it was one of those things, family. I mean, all they talked about was how much she talked about Jesus. She loved Jesus. Now, she did not love a sermon I preached on David and Bathsheba, okay? And she let me know that, and everybody else know that, all right? But she loved Jesus, and she was here, and she worshiped, and it was a sweet time, the time that we had with her, to see her here kind of in a church like this, and a movement like that. I mean, it was awesome. She died in faith. She didn't see what she had received. Now, she's seeing it now, okay? I mean, you understand. I mean, she's seeing a good glimpse of it now. I mean, we're not all the way there yet. But she didn't see that final Joshua figure come and conquer and bring the new heavens and the new earth. See, if we don't get there all the way to the end, if we're not that last generation that is alive when that happens, we will die in faith, holding the substance of what God will do. Now, here's what I want to do with the rest of our sermon, okay? When we understand what it means to die in faith, that's what this passage is kind of talking about. But what does it look like for us to live in faith? Like, what does it look like for us to live in light of that homeland that is coming? How do we demonstrate with our life? Man, this world is great, like it. Man, there's things about it, but it's broken, it's beat up, it needs to be restored. It's not home. I'm not going to spend all my life upfitting a hotel room I'm gonna be in comparatively for 2 days, right? I wanna leverage for the kingdom that is coming. Well, look what happened for Abraham. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but there's a little argument that is made in Hebrews chapter 11 that shows, man, Abraham was on the search for a homeland and he never abandoned the search. You know why? Look at verse 15 with me. Here's what it says. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, meaning, If what was on their mind was what had gone out, you guys can jump to verse 15, they would have had the opportunity to return. You understand? What he's saying is, hey, the way you know that Abraham was looking for the land that God promised him was that he never just turned around and went back home. He didn't spend his life looking back like Lot's wife looking back. Like the children of Israel when they were in Egypt and they would say, oh, just that we could go back to Egypt, back into slavery. It's hard for us sometimes not to look back and to say, God, you are moving me somewhere, but I can't keep my eyes forward. I'm looking back. Verse 15 shows us, man, you think about Abraham. Abraham wasn't homesick for Haran. He was homesick for heaven. He was homesick for the homeland that God had prepared for him. Now, there's this giant metaphor. Yes, God had a place on earth called the Promised Land for him. But in his example, we can see the type of life that we should have as we look forward to our ultimate homeland. You know what? I brass tacks, what does it come down to? Listen, our lives reflect our heart's home. What our heart finds as home, that's what our lives begin to reflect. One pastor said it like this. Hey, your body is what your soul acts like in the world. Like it's what your heart wants and acts like in the world, that's what your body is. I mean, that's what you do in the world. It reflects what the heart loves. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand as if, because you could, okay? And I don't have time to chase all this theologically. That does not put us, church, in a posture of sectarianism or hating this world that we live in, all right? Man, we are in the world for the world. That's what it means to be a resident alien. We're not a tourist here, nor are we fully home here, okay? We're somewhere in the middle. And we've got to remember that because that's how we live. That what I mean by that is, man, love a sunset. Love the mountains. Love your work. Love baseball. Glorify God with all of these types of things. Has anybody here heard of a Buc-ee's gas station? Oh yeah, okay, all right. This is more than I thought, okay? I mean, they're coming out of Texas. They're taking over Alabama, Florida. Man, there's some in South Carolina. They're coming for us, okay? And if you've never seen a Buc-ee's, I call it a gas station. I don't know what you call it, okay? It's like a Cracker Barrel and a Walmart had a baby, okay? And that baby grew up to marry a Sheetz, and they had a baby. And that's a Buc-ee's, okay? It's like, man, you can buy a grill, take your kids Christmas shopping at the toy aisle. They've got a massive wall filled with alligator and bison jerky, and you can just be drinking a milkshake while you're walking around. I mean, I don't know how to really describe it, okay? But my point is, love Buc-ee's, okay? Love things in this world. Like, that's fine. Man, sunset, work, man, the hobbies that you have, glorify God with them. Don't get in this sectarian position that we're against the world. We are for the world. The world, though, is not our home. The question is this, Christian, what about our lives reveals our search for a homeland? I think one of the best ways to describe this is to say this. I don't know if you have ever truly been homesick, and I don't mean you went to a camp for a week, okay? I mean, have you ever been homesick? I don't mean you moved across town and you didn't get to go to nannies every Thursday now, okay? I mean, you were homesick. I was 18 years old, packed up the truck, drove to college, 8 hours away. Man, it was one of the fight of my life how homesick I was. I wanted to go home. My friends were there. My family was there. That was where I was from. I mean, I had been in Florida my entire life. Now I'm up in the mountains. I mean, it's August and we're playing football and I'm wearing a full hoodie. I mean, you know, it's just like, man, this ain't right. This is not home. I wanted to go home. And if you've ever been homesick, you understand that. You know, I think about our sent ones. I mean, many of you guys watch online every single week. It's one of the reasons that we do kind of our media ministry. Some of you guys fight homesickness. I can't imagine what that's like going through the holidays and being somewhere away from your family and all that kind of stuff. But many of you guys count it a joy to lay that down in order to be where you are. Have you ever been homesick in your life? This is kind of, I think, what the point of this passage is getting at a little bit, is that a guy like Abraham demonstrated with his life that he was homesick for a home he had never seen. He was homesick for heaven. He was on the search to go home, but that didn't mean I'm going back. It means I'm going forward. And it means my life is going to demonstrate that. I don't know if I got any old Southern Gospel friends in the house, okay? But the song, Beulah Land, you know, I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I have never been. No sad goodbyes will be there spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land. Some of you guys know this, right? I'm longing for you. I'm homesick for a country that I've never even seen. D.L. Moody was a great evangelist. When he died, there's a story that's told about his life where he was in the midst of dying. I mean, it was that final, and his daughter begins to voice these prayers that God would give him more time and that he would revive. And about that time, D.L. Moody revives and he looks at his daughter and he says, "Do not pray that." Can you imagine that? He says, "Do not pray that. God is calling. This is my coronation day, and I've been looking forward to it. I'm homesick for a home that I've never even been to." Are you homesick for that? Listen, I said this a little bit insider, but here's what I know. There's probably a lot of unbelievers around Mercy Hill at our campuses or even here in this room today. And here's what I want you to hear. Some of you are pushing away Christianity because you feel like, man, I desire too much. You're like, man, I desire too much of the world, and I desire too much of this, and I don't want to lay all that down. I desire too much to become a Christian. No, the real problem is you're satisfied with too little. You're satisfied here, and the Bible's trying to get you to see you weren't created for here. You were created for a home that the purchase price to get there was the blood of the Son of God. I want you to think about that with me for 1 second. This summer, we went to Universal Studios with our family, okay? And if you've ever been to a place like that, park like that or whatever, it costs hundreds of dollars to get a whole family in there. But when you walk in, I mean, Universal, it's like the Harry Potter world, and it's like the all these massive roller coasters, and there's stuff everywhere. And here's what the thought I had. You know, a lot of times you pay a price, and you're like, man, I walked in, you know, you pay hundreds of dollars to get in, and you kind of, I was looking around going like, how do they do this? Like, why isn't the purchase price thousands? How can they run all this stuff? with a purchase price of an $80 ticket or whatever. But still, $100 to go into a place or a show or something like that, it's a ton of money, right? Hundreds of dollars. The purchase price reflects the experience that you're supposed to have. Now I want you to think about this. What was the purchase price for God to bring you into his city that he is preparing? What's the purchase price for God to bring you into the better country? It ain't no $100-something. Man, it was the blood of his son. Now, if that's the purchase price, what can we expect from the better country? You know, Jesus Christ, we think about this great city that is going to descend and purge, and man, it's the city God is preparing. I want you to think about this purchase price. Jesus was crucified outside the city. They took him outside the gate so that you and I could enjoy God inside the gate. We get to come inside the city because Jesus was crucified outside. Our sin barred us from entrance into the new city, into the better country. But Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness when we accept him by faith. Man, this is our trouble with desire. We think we desire too much. Y'all, we're satisfied with too little. And I pray that even in seeing what Christ has done, you know, to bring us this new heavens and the new earth, that we will begin to long for it in a way that is reflected in our lives. So here's kind of our way of saying this weekend by way of application. Let's leverage our resources on earth. You know, let's leverage here as if we truly long for heaven. Let's long together. Man, let's make sure that we demonstrate today with what we do through Multiply that this world is not our home. We have a chance to demonstrate our desire for God's kingdom. I want you to think about all the things that we talked about for the last 3 weeks that we love. Kingdom movement. We desire heaven to be filled with people from every tribe and tongue. Man, we want all the kids that are in the triad to have a home, to either be adopted or to be restored to their families as we care for these children through foster care. Man, we want to think about how the gospel is affecting the next generation in terms of our student ministry and having a launch pad, a new regional campus that's going to have the opportunity to forge our sending teams for campuses and church plants and missionaries. Man, this is what we long for, and we can demonstrate our longing for that by the way that we give today. Now, I want to be super clear with this, and I'm just going to say it, and I'm actually going to read it. I want to be very clear. There is nothing about giving or our works. There is nothing we can sacrifice that secures our entrance into this new city and heaven and this place that God has given. Man, that's not what it's about. It's not about entrance. Man, if that's going to happen, it happens by grace through faith. We can only get there through the blood of Jesus Christ, but we can absolutely demonstrate what we think about our future home by the way that we leverage our resources here and now. Guys, this is kind of coming to the moment at all of our campuses. Man, we have pushed very hard through this series. I understand that. We've pushed for the lanes. Man, we want to see life change, healing. We want to see God's glory, next generation sending, building families through adoption, restoring families through foster care. We want to see all of that stuff. And it's right here on our doorstep. Man, we want to see the land for the future campus where we can send and forge missionaries and residency and seminary and church planting and campuses. We want to see all of that. The only way that it will happen, 2 weeks left in December, I mean 3 weeks for $3 million for the next 30 years. The only way that it's going to happen is if we collectively say, man, this ain't our home here. And we are willing to leverage for the home that is to come. You know, I want to make sure, I want to do one thing real quick here, and I'll be honest with you guys, I've struggled with this because this is my third sermon in a row using a prop, and that officially makes you a prop preacher, okay? So, but I'm going to go for it anyway here. I want you guys to think about this with me for a minute, all right? I want you to envision with me that this rope just goes on forever, okay? I mean, this rope, I mean, it goes all the way to northeast. It goes all the way back through High Point, comes up to Clifton, and then circles the globe 17 times, okay? It's like, and then after that, it's still eternal, okay? It never ends. It's the rope that never ends. Now, here's the thing. This rope that never ends kind of has a starting place, but it never has a stop. I mean, it's eternal forever, okay? It's going to go on, and it's going to go on, and it's going to go on. But there is a place that it started, and there's a place that we live as resident aliens, not tourists, but not full citizens, of this earth right here. And I want you to imagine that this little piece of red tape represents our life here. This is the 70 years that we get, or 80 years, or whatever. Maybe it's less, maybe it's more. This is what we get. Guys, how much time, energy, resources are spent leveraging for this piece of eternity? Just for this little piece of our life. When the reality is that we can demonstrate our love for another place and the home that we will live in for all of eternity, we can demonstrate that today and leverage it. That doesn't stop with this little tiny piece, but instead it's gonna be leveraged for all time, for all eternity. Man, that's what I'm hoping that we will do today as we begin to walk into this moment of reflection and prayer and ultimately commitment, all right? So here's what I want you to do. Man, I want you to get this card out, and we're not done. I've got time left, and we're gonna go into another kind of creative element here with a video, but we're kind of getting into that moment, all right? It's a big moment for our church. Man, I told some guys today, I said, man, I know that this is in God's hands, and I know that it don't ride on me. But I also feel like this is about the biggest weekend I've ever seen at Mercy Hill in some ways, okay? Maybe the biggest sermon I've ever preached in my life, all right? And so it's like, man, it's all in God's hands. But it's a big moment is my point, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to just hold on to this, and I want to ask you this question. Man, are we leveraging, is our yes on the table? Does our life look like, man, we're longing for another homeland? You know, is our life a blank check? God, you fill it out. You fill it out. My whole life is yours. I want to ask you, you know, just be asking yourself that question for a moment. God brings us to moments where we are already, where he has already been moving and working in crazy ways, right? And I think that for us, Mercy Hill, this is one of those moments where he's already been moving, all right? So, man, I want you to begin to think about, man, the ways that God has moved to bring us to this moment and what he's asking of us right now. You know, I think of a story of a family in our church that's already debt-free. They're a younger couple, but they've been following the Dave Ramsey plan, okay? They're totally debt-free, and it brings them to a moment right now where they're able to say, hey, we're thinking something crazy, like maybe go to one spouse's salary for the whole year to be able to give to what's going on. Man, with another family that said, hey, first fruits for us looks like an entire month's worth of salary that we would have in January. Man, we're just going to go ahead and give that now to this. Because here's the thing, man, big moments are about going, but big moments are about giving. Because man, without the giving, we don't go. Generosity fuels the mission. I think about this for me and Anna. You know, me and Anna put our yes on the table 17 years ago. And I want you to hear me, okay? That has meant ministry. It's meant church planting. Man, it's meant seminary. It meant adoption. What we've given at the end of this year is big enough for us and our family that it goes into that bucket of like those type of moments for us. You know, like adoption, seminary, plant a church, 2021, multiply offering. I mean, it's like that for us. And I pray that maybe it'll be like that for some of you guys as well, because I think that's what God has brought us to, the type of ministry we're gonna see in the lanes and the moment that we have right now with this land. I wanna tell you all the backstory of this because it's a total God moment. He's already been working, all right? Man, we've been thinking about where regional needs to move for 5 years. We've been praying about it. We don't wanna lease forever. Man, the airport, just all the stuff, right, we've talked about. We've been praying about this. But man, even 2 years ago, even maybe just over a year ago, still up in the air a little bit strategically about exactly where it ought to be. Over the last couple of years, the circle began to kind of narrow about, man, our launch and broadcast location sort of being maybe more in the heart of our church where everybody is coming from and a place that we can send from campus kind of all over the triad and all that kind of stuff for long term. And so we began to kind of see that circle sort of narrow and narrow and narrow, and it got real close to regional. We're like, man, not even a mile from regional. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. This is going to sound like a preacher story, okay? And I am a preacher, but I'm telling you, it's all true. You can ask Anna, all right? You can ask our lead team that was there. We were in a meeting, and I said, hey, man, the perfect location, the most strategic, the dead center of where we need to be is, bam, on a map here. Drop a pin right there. The problem is, that place ain't for sale, okay? And so we said, but hey, that's the center that we're gonna work off of, and we'll start looking at land, starts and stops. Finally in May of just this year, maybe some of you guys remember this, I come before the church, and I say to the church, hey, listen, man, we gotta move regional by 2023, we gotta start now, we gotta be strategic about this. Man, we're looking in this area, wanted to kind of alert everybody of what was going on with the new student center and all that, where we were gonna be. And I said, hey, just kind of off the cuff, I said, hey, if anybody knows anybody that owns some land right at the corner of so-and-so road and so-and-so road, okay, I want you, you know, if you got about 20 acres or so, man, why don't you shoot me an email, ha ha, everybody laughed. Y'all, the next day, we get a call. And the call comes in and the call says, hey, I want to talk to you guys because I know some property owners, I'm neighbors with them, of a property that might be kind of interesting to you guys depending on the location that you're thinking about. And I think maybe if I talk to them, there may be some opportunity there or whatever. This was 6 months ago. Guys, it was not in the area. It was the exact property that I put my finger on. If I'm lying, I'm dying. It was the property. That was 6 months ago. And we're about 2 weeks from closing on it right now. All right, so this is the moment. So am I fired up about the lanes? Yeah. Am I fired up about the land? Yeah. Is it a huge moment for our church? Man, it absolutely is. And I'm praying that we're gonna not linger, but leverage, not step back, but step all the way in. So guys, without further ado, man, here's the moment, all right? 100% participation for everybody that calls Mercy Hill home. If you're newer with us, if you're not quite sure, man, don't feel any pressure in this because this is for the home folk, okay? Now, if you're feeling moved, then go for it. But man, we don't want you to feel any pressure for that if you're not kind of part of our church here or whatever. But we're looking for 100% participation. You guys know the goals we have. Here's how we're gonna play it out. Man, for about a minute or so, we're just gonna let the band kind of play so that people can prepare. Man, reflect, pray. Probably you came in prepared. If you didn't, maybe now's the time. Man, fill out the card. You know, again, it's symbolic. The offering's actually open till the end of the month. And some of you guys have already given and some are going to give, but we want to do this together in unity. Hey, if you're watching online, there's a place right in the link of wherever you're watching this where you can download a card for you to send in. With the amount of people that are watching online, I'm praying that we see dozens of these cards come in from right online. We want you to participate with us. All right, but now is the moment, all right? Man, here's the deal. God creates margin for moments that are just like this. Man, so let's as a church lean in and step into it, and we can reflect and show how much we long for the better country, the new city that is coming by what we do today. So, man, prayerfully at our campuses, man, reflect, pray, prepare your card for just a few minutes, and then they're gonna play. Then the band will come out, they'll stand us, and when we begin to sing throughout that whole song, just when you're ready, that'll be the time to come forward here at Regional. There's buckets here. I know there's places at the campuses right on the front. Come forward and make our commitment together.